I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the lead.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads. He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
All right, hot leads. We'll get you caught up on some of the day's top stories. We'll begin first, though, with the Astros. They are off today. Just finished off a stretch of 17 games in as many days yesterday with a dramatic 5-3 victory at Daikin. With Christian Walker, the guy that needed it the most to walk something off, he did it. Two-run dinger to give the Astros a 5-3 win. They'll resume their 10-game homestand tomorrow with just two games against the A's the next couple of days before they host the Tampa Bay Rays for four. Pretty darn good stretch. We talked about it already for the Astros, going 10-7 during those last 17 games, PC, with all the stuff that just kind of pelted them, pitching injuries, underperformance, guys being out like Yordan, Spencer Arrighetti, Wisniewski needing Tommy John, a couple of starts for some rookies like Brandon Walter, Colton Gordon. Now, you know what? The last couple of games, Jose Altuve's bounced back. Christian Walker seems to kind of have gotten things going. And maybe they're working along the lines of playing that complimentary baseball for a sustainable period of time now that we've been looking for. The bottom of the order producing with guys like Jake Myers and Cam Smith, Mauricio Dubon, Pena doing his thing, along with Isak Paredes and at the top of the lineup, could all be coming together for the Astros. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But tomorrow for the Astros, it will be Hunter Brown on the mound to open a brief two-game series against the A's. Hunter Brown, Lance McCullers, slated to pitch for the Astros. Hopefully, keep going.
You're looking to see, hey, Hunter get to bounce back by pitching in a real ballpark?
Was this the last outing that he
was in Tampa?
Got destroyed?
He didn't get destroyed. He gave up unicorn home runs that would have been outs in every other stadium.
Fair.
Home run that literally snuck out to the very first row of like this like mini ballpark that the Yankees use for spring training.
But it was three dingers.
Where the Rays dingers. Have to play this year because of the hurricane damage to the roof of the Trop that apparently is going to take the entire year.
Yeah.
It might even go into next year before they finish putting what to the untrained eye is a freaking tarp over the top of the building, right?
It is exactly
so,
that.
But this roof is going to take so much time. And if you remember, they were talking about building a new stadium there.
Yeah.
Well, that's on hold now because of the amount of money they got to pay to fix the dome.
Yeah.
And it just, the whole thing has become a cluttered mess. And the Rays are stuck playing in a spring training facility this year, maybe next year. At the same time, the homeless ass are playing in a minor league stadium in Sacramento.
Yeah, for longer than one season.
For
them.
Three seasons.
Yeah, for three seasons. So if they got to do it for three, maybe the Rays are going to have to do it for at least two until they get their tent fixed.
That would literally be a disaster because of all the teams that act like they're freaking broke-ass paupers,
yeah,
the only one that consistently competes is the Tampa Bay Rays. Mm. Other teams in baseball try to mimic, hell, the Astros are one of them, try to mimic what Tampa has done in maximizing every single dollar they have. Tampa is always trading guys before they get to free agency and restocking the farm system. Like Tampa literally operates like a college program where they're just turning guys over every 4 or 5 years, turn guys over.
Yeah.
And they're the only one of all the quote poors that competes on a regular basis. We always see the other ones. They just suck every year.
They do. Not looking at you at all. Chicago White Sox. Talking about consistency, there has not been any consistency in the Western Conference Finals. How surprised were you to see Minnesota blow out the Thunder on Saturday? 143-101. Minnesota trails in the series 2-1. Edwards finally came alive. He and Randle combined for 54 points. They shot the hell out of the ball, almost 60% for the game. Do you believe that we actually have a series now? Or are you still along the lines of, this is Oklahoma City's series, they're going to get to the finals, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it?
What the old adage is, a series starts when somebody loses on their home court. Mm-hmm. So far, everybody's held serve. So if tonight the T-Wolves hold serve, we get to the last three games, you got a series. Right now, it's almost been like an old ECW spot fest where it's like you hit your biggest move. So first game, Thunder, blowout win. Second game, Thunder, blowout win. You know, they'll land on the elbows off the top rope. Game three, T-Wolves, blowout win. Now they've come back, you know, with their own, you know, moonsault off the top rope.
Yeah.
So everybody's hitting their giant spots. We don't have really a lean yet. How this game goes tonight very much impacts the rest of the series. I think if OKC comes out and wins tonight, it's over in five. If the T-Wolves come out and win today, this baby's going seven.
I won't disagree with that. I think I'm more inclined to believe that Minnesota can take care of business tonight. It's too unbelievable to me that, you know, you should anoint the Oklahoma City Thunder like this series already and give them the trip to the finals, have them punch their ticket. They just lost by 42 points. They trailed by as much as 45. Like a team that, you know, you were ready to punch the ticket to, you know, 4 days ago, they can't come out and lose by 42 points. That's not like an aberration. Like, Minnesota can clearly compete with them in this series. But you're right. I mean, tonight is the key. If they win, like, a game like the Knicks did the other day, 106-100, if that's kind of like their fate tonight, a dub is a dub. Now you've got a brand new series.
But no, think about that game with the Knicks, right? So the Knicks lost the first game in this series, despite having a 17-point lead with 6.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, right? They totally choked that thing off.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they come out flat, and they got no legs in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and they lose again. Yesterday, Tom Thibodeau does something we previously thought unfathomable. He actually used more than 7 players. And what happens? The Knicks come back from 20 points down for the second straight series.
Yeah.
And win on the road.
The third time this postseason.
And
too.
Now, yeah. Hey, now this is a very different series all of a sudden, because the Pacers win 2 in New York. If the Knicks take 2 in Indy, mm-hmm. and they go back home and it's 2-2. 7-game series.
And it's wild, man. We're going to have more on that series coming up next segment. We've got some audio we need to discuss as well. Did you know this was happening? Team USA and the world title that they just captured this weekend. First world title in 92 years. I think you say his name, Tage Thompson. You would know this better than me. He's a Buffalo Sabres forward. He scored the game winner with 2 minutes left in overtime yesterday to beat Switzerland 1-0 in the final of the Ice Hockey World Championships. Why are there Ice Hockey World Championships going on at the same time as the Stanley Cup playoffs? That's what I was trying to figure out. Is this always a thing?
So, yeah, they do the World Championships usually every, it's like 2 years. So it's like before the Olympics?
Is this like the World Baseball Classic kind of a thing every couple of years for them?
So it should be, certain teams that were in this needed it to get into the Olympics. The next Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
But the idea of, is this like a big deal? No, this isn't a big deal.
I mean, it couldn't be that big of a deal. But look, it's Team USA. I thought it was like, hey, cool, anytime you can do something for the first time in 92 years. It was 1933 since the last time, you know, Team USA
had won. The world champions, it's not the Olympics. The Olympics is a much bigger stage.
Sure, sure. But this is an effort to kind of get there, right?
Well, the U.S. doesn't have to worry about getting there. They're always there.
Well, I mean, for players, like, to be able to represent USA, isn't that what it's all about? Like, once you pick the Olympic squad, are you going to take all the players that kind of helped you get there?
Well, a lot of these guys are going to wind up on the Olympic team. But remember, this team, there's still four teams playing in the NHL right now.
Right.
Whose players can't be in the World Championships. Some of those guys are going to be on Olympic teams.
Uh-huh.
So
I wonder how many of those kind are going to be on Team USA, though. Outside of, like, Team Russia, Team Switzerland, Team Canada.
Yeah, all those guys are going to be there. You know, they'll be all the teams that you're used to seeing there. Sweden will be there. They're another big team. I expect that there will be a Russian delegation team there, unless they're banned from the Olympics because they're starting wars and fighting wars and bombing children.
Right.
That's maybe that's frowned upon by the Olympics more than it's frowned upon by certain nations.
Possibly. I thought that was interesting, but at least worth a nod. You do something for the first time in 92 years.
But Tage Thompson's cool. Looking to get a spot on the 2026 Olympic team.
I'd say he helped his case yesterday.
Yeah, probably did not hurt.
Double trouble for Kyle Larson yesterday. He was trying to become just the second driver ever to finish both the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 in the same day. He crashed out before the 100 lap mark in the Indy 500. He actually wrecked on lap 91 and then crashed on lap 246 of the Coca-Cola 600. It was John Andretti, first driver ever to do the Indy 500 and Coca-Cola 600. He didn't finish, though. The only guy to finish all 100 laps is Tony Stewart. Finished sixth in the 01 Indy 500 and then hopped a helicopter to Charlotte back in the day where he'd finished the Cup Series race at third. Pretty impressive for Tony Stewart, who was doing the pre and post race show yesterday.
Stewart's a freaking legend.
I was rooting for Kyle Larson to do it, man. You know, look, two wrecks in the same day, that's not good, but at least he wasn't, who was it? Not Newgarden. He was going for three in a row. It was a damn guy at the Indy 500 who wrecked his car on, like, the warm-up lap. He was, like, one lap away from even just starting. He got loose and lost control and hit the wall. Didn't even get to start the race and just destroyed his car yesterday. Whoever that guy was, I can't remember his name. He was driving the Pennzoil car.
Well,
tough luck for him.
Marcus Ericsson, who finished as the runner-up,
yeah,
got kicked all the way down to 31st. His teammate, Kyle Kirkwood, got kicked down to 32nd because after the race, their cars were found to have unapproved modifications.
What?
During post-race inspection. So they got penalized. They got pushed to the back of the pile.
Did not know that. You know, Joseph Newgarden, who was going for the three-peat at the Indy 500, he gotten penalized. He had to move all the way to the back to the pack. He and another a teammate of Penske Racing, because they'd modified some sort of safety thing on their car, and they'd found out before inspection this past week. So they got kicked all the way back to, like, 30th and 31st.
So Ericsson and Kirkwood, they race for Andretti Global.
Yeah.
Back of the line, cheaters.
Womp womp. And then I think it was Marco Andretti had a wreck in the first 10 laps or something yesterday.
Woof.
He was done for. All right, that's it for Hot Leads. Coming up next, we'll get back to the NBA playoffs. Fair or foul, you decide, from Charles Barkley last night. We'll have the audio for you next.